Extra Points is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, because you get your winnings fast. Now winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours. And don't forget, it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game to make a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know I sent you. Now, let's do the show.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now, here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning. Spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs, babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me now, Martin Weiss, my dear friend, and my other dear friend, who's he's sick. He's sick in his stomach. He's sick in the mind. Dave Damashek.
Sick in my balls.
I forgot about the balls. Game 7 loss. Your Penguins, Spaghetti's Rangers, and of course, it went to overtime. I want to get that. Spaghetti, congratulations. I'll go to you first. You beat the Rangers in overtime. And as it stands, you will be shooting a hockey ball and perhaps other things at Dave, dressed as Jesus, on Thursday as he picked from the cap of consequences. Holy goalie. And that is his punishment. Congratulations, Eddie Spaghetti.
Thank you so much. I'm really not looking forward to injuring Dave. I mean, hopefully we could shoot some very, very soft things at him. I haven't had a wrist shot in a couple of years. Maybe I'll shoot lefty or something. But no, I'm not taking any frustration with Dave. It's not his fault in the least. And Dave's was very kind of Dave to show up to the party. Had a great time with you folks. But man, oh man, I mean, that game, it must be like what heroin feels like, or if not better. That was just like, it was incredible. That just like Game 7 overtime, I'm thinking, I know which way this is going. I've seen this book before. Every break has gone the Pens' way. I'm like, this is going to be, it's definitely a Pens like overtime win. It's in the Garden. It's going to crush us and like whatever. And somehow Panarin, who didn't have a great game at all, somehow fires that shot, goes in between two guys. I think Letang kind of screened his own goalie, which is you never want to do that. And it slips through. The Garden was rocking. I mean, man, oh man, like between the high stick goal that counted, obviously going back to game 1, that garbage. And then it was just, it's just, they overcame that and they got outplayed badly in game 3 and game 4, they got outplayed, but having, you know, the Pens have Raquel, Crosby and Jari back for game 7 to beat them full strength, to overcome all those goal deficits, like their foot was on the Rangers' throat and they couldn't stomp them out in those games.
That's
The comeback kids. And, you know, if they go and get, you know, losing 5 games to the Hurricanes, which really wouldn't surprise me, whatever, like they got over this hump, they ended the Pens. The Pens will not be the same team anymore. The same team that has not won a playoff series in like 5 straight right now. It just feels so good to take that thorn out of my side, the Sidney Crosby thorn. It feels, well, you know what kind of sparked it? I wasn't going to come in like this, but all this vitriol, This Pittsburgh media, man, it's like, it's kind of crazy.
Well, let's hear from it. I know.
Not Dave. Like, no, the record, Dave. People want me to fight Dave. Not Dave at all. I love Dave. Like, please, it's not Dave.
I love it, though, because you guys, you know, I heard you on -3. And it's like, oh, it's Sal who's sparking this thing. Meanwhile, you guys are at war. You're ripping each other's lungs out on Twitter for all the nation to see. I think that's national, right? Or is it regional Twitter? No, everybody can see it. And then also side texting me about what a sore loser and sore loser the other has been. So, Sheck, jump in here. I don't know. I mean, lots of complaining from Penguins fans and Rangers fans and Celtics fans. I don't even know how to rank it, but go ahead. Jump in there. Check. You must be devastated.
Listen, I went into this one after the month leading into the playoffs. I kind of lost hope about the Pens. They just sort of felt like they ran out of gas or something. They're, you know, advanced in age, relatively speaking. So I was stunned all series long that the Pens more or less dominated the play for the vast majority of, I mean, literally all 7 games, they had the better of it all the way through. I don't know. It's a bummer. It's, you know, but I also hesitate to complain as a fan of somebody who has gotten to watch 5 cups. I mean, I always tell the story and I'll tell it again, that, you know, my fandom with this team goes back to the, you know, the early 80s, and with my old man taking me and my sister to the games and Uncle Mike and all those people. So it's fun when the playoffs come around to be texting with those same people, whether it's football, hockey or otherwise.
But not texting with spaghetti. That's not as fun for you. That hasn't gone on since the 80s.
No, I mean, it's, you know, a little out of bounds, in my opinion, that he clearly is responding to my tweets, but not adding me. But
what about that spaghetti?
He clearly, I'm not liking things. You're an a-hole. You're a crybaby. The Rangers fans, despite playing against a third string goalie and their goons headshotting in the first game, and in the fifth game, two of the Pens' best players and putting them out. Yes, injuries happen. There's a difference between injuries are a part of the sport and, yeah, the injuries are the direct result of your team in this series. I mean, a third string goalie, mazel tov, you survived. Rags fans are Browns fans. I get it. You beat the big bully once. We are the dominant team. I get that feels good. But it really does express something really dark or something sad about Rags fans that their takeaway is the refs are still against us. You guys are crybabies when the entire series was plagued by weeping Rangers fans. They would have called that goal right, this would be over.
If
they called the Gensel goal, which wasn't really all that questionable to most objective eyes, they wouldn't have gotten that right. And of course, the irony is that it ends on the Rangers catch up on a very bad goal. Listen, John Marino, the Penguins defenseman, handed it right to Mika there to win it. But, you know, I'm not saying one is better than the other. You're our mutual pal, Sal Brusca, Jim Brusca, longtime Rangers fan. Longtime shit talker. Starts hitting me up out of the blue. I haven't talked to you in forever, man. And all of a sudden, like, Crosby's a pussy.
Well, let's keep it between you and Eddie here.
Well, now I think it's not singularly about spaghetti, except for the fact that there were a lot of social media posts of people Spaghetti's a crybaby, and I would get into their DMs and say, leave the guy alone. He's trying to have a nice
birthday. Is that true? See, spaghetti, that's nice.
And spaghetti, conversely, is going through favoriting. Damashek is a pussy like his team. Cry more.
How do you do that with your voice, Spaghetti? That's crazy. Whatever happens, I despise Pittsburgh. Still not over the high stick goal.
Pittsburgh.
You understood
that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I meant
very very funny to see Penn's homers cry about rules. How many gifts do you need? It goes on and on, Spaghetti. And then your father, I'm just seeing this now. He stripped down at whatever.
Tony Pease. Yeah. He was wearing his too big, too strong, too fast, too Kreider shirt. Sweating through that. It was emotional time. So we had to swap off shirts. But I'm not I have fun on Twitter, but it's not, it's like, and I just tweet out things generally because I do have a lot of people tweeting at me, you know, Pens fans who are coming at me. But it's like, it's really not Dave at all. It's the people who are paid to cover the team, and they get paid to cover the sport of hockey. And it is insane. I have, you know, plenty of group texts with plenty of Rangers fans, guys from New York, even non-Rangers fans. I've had people from teams who cover teams, other teams in the playoffs, DM me who I went to school with, and they're like, yeah, the Pens beat writers are a special bunch. They're covering the team saying that. And to me, it's crazy that you were given some gifts and your takeaway from this series is that you were robbed. And that, to me, it's just like, that's a really spark.
Who says the series was robbed? We're bummed that it was a noble effort by Louis Domingue, the third string goalie. But I will say there is a distinction when this is a public forum that we're in here, a podcast, you know, that, you know, is intended to draw listeners by bringing on expert opinions. And a big distinction between the beat writers is some of the people that you're insulting are guests on our show. I don't know what good that has for in the Extra Points Network when you are insulting people as being biased or marginalizing their opinions as biased. They're homers. I mean, come on.
Somebody on Twitter asked me, I'm just saying, if
you want to go that route, you want to read his article versus other articles of people from that publication on the other side, it's pretty night and day, the difference between them. And I could cite multiple things in that article. I mean, complaining, saying this, the series is over if Sidney Crosby plays the rest of game five or game six. Well, newsflash, you guys are up 2 goals in both those games and you still lost. And he came back from game seven and he still lost. So you want to complain about goalies? We scored 3+ goals on DeSmith, Domingue, and Jari. So no matter what goal you had in there, we were beating up. So like, I don't want to hear the backup goalie nonsense. Also, you bring up, you know, that you,
that
you bring up
matter that Lou Domingue played six games, but how do you get paid to cover this team
and say like, if DeSmith played, they would have won the series. Like, but how do you, but how, I want to just ask the question to people who cover this team. Again, I'm not naming names. If you're going to bring up the what if, playing the what if game, if you're a Pens fan or a Pens supporter or you work for the cover of the team, is a bad road to go down because you're missing two big what ifs, which is the game one overturn goal and the high stick goal in game seven. So you don't want to play that. You want to complain about the helmet coming off. First of all, that happened last year versus the Islanders. You knew the rule. The NHL came to you and told you the rule. Also on that play, Letang got into position. And like you said before, Marino gave over the puck. So again, the helmet thing is insane to go down that path. And I like, it's just, there's so like the what if game is a bad road because there's so many things that went in the favor of the Pens, right? And to complain and to say that like, oh, it would have been different, this and that, like you're gonna still bring up the Trouba hit. Like it was reviewed by the NHL safety players and he didn't have a concussion and he came back.
What's
like,
funny though?
Also, the Rangers, no, I'm not done. The Rangers missed Ryan Glenfrin. The Rangers missed
Barkley
Goodrow. And they were missing guys too. And they came back and
like Goodrow equals Sidney Crosby. Come on.
But you're bringing up Raquel and backup goalies. We're missing a guy who was playing on our third and fourth line. We're paying him $6 million a year.
It's funny though that the league did get five of five in reviews.
We're
three octaves too high here.
You had more power plays. You're the only team that had 5-on-3 power plays. So what breaks? What other breaks you need? Bring on any Pens guy. I will crush them. We beat you. It is over for you guys. Say whatever you want. You had the breaks, and we still beat you guys despite the breaks.
All right,
we're up
2-5.
Right. We're up 2-6.
Spaghetti.
Browns fans meet Rags fans. You are the same. Congratulations. You
what
beat
a whiny
the big
bunch.
Bully.
I cannot wait for the Canes. At least their fans are normal. If they have fans.
Martin, what did you have to say?
Yeah, somebody tweeted me and asked which Dave would be more annoying, victorious Dave or defeated Dave. And defeated Dave with this spin is just disgusting. I don't even want to get all into it because I don't want another 15 minutes of anything that just happened.
Dave's spin is disgusting?
Yeah, because it's surrounded. Like, you can't just, like, they, you lost.
It's funny
because
at the party on Saturday this night, this. You
calling Eddie a Browns fan, and all Eddie's saying, no. I'm going to go ahead and talk right now because all Eddie is saying is, it's not Dave's fault. And all Dave does is go back and be like, well, Eddie, if you were a Rangers fan doing this, you were a Rangers fan doing that, you were a Rangers fan doing this.
Spaghetti's girl.
He's letting me know about victory. And Dave can't even lose and just take it like a man. Just lose, take the L. And let's move on to basketball.
I'm fine. I'm bummed for my family. I mean, believe me, some of the people in my family take it very seriously. And so I'm bummed out for them. And I'm bummed out for the people who reside on the banks of the Three Rivers who live and die with the team. People, that's what fan bases do. People who, you know, I will always root for if it's a 50-50 coin flip, I will always root for the town or the fan base that is more passionate. I mean, that's why I was rooting for the Leafs over the Lightning over the weekend. I'd like to see that. Please like my girlfriend more. Please. I know she says terrible things. I know you've announced them in a public forum that she doesn't like you because you're not nice to me on the air. But please like her now because I'm drunk.
We're getting a little off course here.
I'm about to say, I thought the recap of Eddie's party was a little bit down the line there.
All right. We had a nice time today. We all had a nice time. I want to get to that later. If we're all still on the Zoom, I don't know if it was going to stick around.
When I first met you, I have to admit, I thought your voice was annoying. But then
you did
introduce me to Sal, so I used you for what you were worth.
Did you say that, Martin?
All right. I mean, you know what? Why are you lashing out, Dave? First, you lash out at Eddie. Eddie says, you know what? It's not Dave. It's literally all the other people that's not Dave. And all you didn't spend 10 minutes lashing out at Dave.
I said, just let it go.
Now you're lashing out at me. Sal, be careful. I'm just saying the man is he's backed into a corner.
Well, here's what I'll say. First of all, a couple things. Spaghetti says he doesn't know what it's like. He imagines this is what it's like to do heroin. I don't believe that. You have to imagine what it's like. I met your family and friends this weekend. I think you've done heroin. You can make a judgment of what's better. But secondly, Sheck, I don't know. You're talk about poking the bear. You have some shots coming your way. Is this really what you want to do? You want to lay it on the line with Spaghetti? You want to infuriate him? Or you think it'll die down by Thursday when this plays out?
Well, hopefully my ample pot belly can catch the majority of the action there.
All right.
I should be well padded up in that regard.
Okay. There you go. All right. So, Spaghetti, everything all right? When you come in, you're going to shake hands? But I mean, that's what happens after hard-fought hockey.
Cannot emphasize enough. I texted Dave. It's not like if I lost, I'd be sad for a day. Get over it. It's just sports. I'm really not. Right. Dave's a fan. Dave's a great fan. And Dave, like you said before, the Penguins are the better team. They have the better team forever. Sidney Crosby is a great player. I wish not Dave, just the other people would just take it more in stride and have more of an objective view of what happened in that series. That's all.
Oh, Sheck, what about that? Respond to that. No, okay. No, we're moving on. We're moving on. Eddie, I will say Rangers underdog in this series. You don't think who said in five? That's not going to happen, right?
The Canes, look, they're 3-1 season series. They play the similar style to the Penguins, but they're a better team. They're also dealing with some goalie issues. I will say, though, even with their backup goalie, I said, I'm not sure which one I said it on, but I said, I hope the Bruins, a physical team, could take them a long series, at least 6 or 7. The Bruins did that. So thank you, Bruins. I definitely would have rather played the Bruins. But
Rangers plus 172 to survive this Carolina.
It's tough. It's going to be a really tough series.
Sheck, you'll root for the Rangers because it's a more passionate fan base, as you just laid out, right?
Kind of. I do like that.
You're Canes not rooting for the Rangers.
Atmosphere. It's kind of like that Nashville vibe. Down there. I've long been a cynic of Sunbelt hockey, but as I've said before and say again, I do think I make fun of the Lightning fan. I don't know Lightning fans. I don't know how wide it goes in the Tampa St. Pete area, but it's pretty clear that the 18,000-20,000 that they have in that joint care, and same goes for the Panthers fans. That's a beauty. That's the one. Right. I of the series that are great, I love, no offense to Ham or to the Rags fans, but the two series that are great are the battle for Florida and the battle for Alberta. Both should be pretty juicy. So,
all right, we'll get to hockey a little bit later. Let's switch courses, go to basketball, because hockey did win the Game 7 war, for sure, because NBA.
Put it to shame.
Both Game 7s were shit in the NBA. Celtics defeat the Bucks 109-81. I don't know what to say. Milwaukee was 4-for-33 from three. I mean, that's sort of what it comes down to in a lot of these games. Turnovers, it seems basic. Like, yes, Al, stupid. This is what happens. Yeah, but 4-for-33 from three, doesn't matter what Giannis does. And big respect for him. He was the entire team. He had no help from Grayson Allen, Wesley Matthews, Connaughton. These guys no-showed for most of the series. The game was fun for a little bit, but it wasn't much of a game. The Celtics led by 15 heading into the fourth. I don't know. Did this bug you? I was hoping for a closer game, Martin, than this.
I mean, you listed off everybody who didn't help Giannis out at all. Neither did Mike Budenholzer, because why was he still running out Grayson Allen? And, I mean, like, at that point, I don't know how you have a series where a guy scores 200 points, gets 100 rebounds, and 50 assists, and you lose. Like, that's incredible. To me, and you could tell he just ran out of gas by the end of the fourth quarter. He's missing layups. But to see the Celtics have to come back, especially after losing game five, and what is it, like 82-83% of the way if you lose game five.
Yeah.
To basically stave off elimination twice. Interestingly enough, also elimination and hunger are the only two things that ever staved off. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
We can't like stave off an Eddie Spaghetti Damashek argument, right?
They really miss Chris Middleton. They really, if Chris Middleton was healthy, I think that's a different series. They needed a curveball, and they just didn't have it.
The curveball might have been like stopping Grant Williams. That killed me. I had Giannis for top scorer, and they were neck and neck right down the stretch, and Grant Williams ended up with 27. He had like a floater with 2 minutes left.
Budenholzer strategy. I get the Bucks are somehow, they want you to shoot threes, which is no one else in the NBA does, but maybe not Grant Williams shot 42% from three for the year.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
he was
I mean, he's a personification going forward now. He's not the biggest star and obviously never will be, but he is he will be my chief example. At Tennessee, he was a mediocre at best three ball shooter. Mm. And people always say, like, I don't know if this guy's game is gonna make it at the pro level, because you got to be able to make shots from the perimeter. You can't just get in the paint all the time and dominate at this level. It's like, they're the best athletes in the world. If they practice, they'll be able to make threes. But that being said, that wasn't a really good performance. That was insane. I mean, that was insane. He got into a rhythm at one point there in the second half where he couldn't miss. It was loco. It was unconscious, as they say.
They took 55 threes. They were 22 for 55. I'll say this, because we talk about fans and despicable fans. The Celtics are right up there. Boston fans for sure. Number one with a bullet. But I have respect for this team. I wish they could win without their fans knowing it, because I want to bet this team, and I think they'll go far, and I'm going to have money on them probably to go far. They didn't try to avoid the Nets like everybody else, took them head on, took them out in five, and then met up with Giannis and the defending champs and dispatched to them. It was a crazy turnaround for this team. Was what, Martin? They were 26-26. So
I mean, they were cooked.
Hats off to the Celtics.
Trade Jaylen Brown, break up Jason Tatum. They were the photoshops of Jason Tatum in a Laker jersey were highly populated down the timeline.
Yeah. All right. Now the other game, Mavs crushed the Suns.
Holy
this was
moly.
Not even, I mean, honestly, it wasn't even 123-90, but about 6 minutes of actual time was this a game before you're like, oh my God. The non-Luka players are 1-for-10 and they're still up 10 right now early. I don't know if Luka was inspired by Booker, who laid on the court in game six? And he said, oh, this is my Luka moment. This is Luka time. This is what I do. They basically no-showed. It was disgusting. I've not seen a home game seven like that ever in any sport, I don't think, Martin. Well, I don't know what you owe it to. Patrick Beverley is great today, saying Chris Paul doesn't play defense. So that's a factor going into the next series if you're going to handicap Dallas. But does Chris Paul ever win a championship? It's looking like no is a good bet at this point.
Nah, it's looking like last year was his best shot. But yesterday pretty much solidified that it's over, unfortunately. But somebody tweeted me the other day. So is Chris Paul going to have five bad games? I guess so. It's like, I don't buy that he just turned 37 and it just fell off the face of the earth. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But what happened on Sunday, I feel like it's definitely deeper than just basketball, right? DeAndre Ayton only played 17 minutes. And, like, that's weird. Chris Paul, like,
what'd they say? It was something internal?
Yeah, it's internal. So I don't know. Maybe gastrointestinal?
Yeah,
no,
gas.
But he said Ayton only played 17 minutes in the game. Like, Jay Crowder took, like, seven shots in the first quarter. It seemed like you don't want to say a team just quit. But if there was ever a team that just felt like they just quit on a series, it was just the Suns in that last game. I mean,
Shaq, you take does Monty believe. Williams return his Coach of the Year award? Like, I don't know. We hear that from time to time with MVPs when they don't show up. Jokic should give back MVP.
I mean, we saw James Harden lay down as a man, however many days ago. The Suns as a collective did. That was crazy. And I hadn't thought about it in historical terms like you just mentioned, Sal. Mm-hmm. There's gotta be something in line with that. But off the top of my head, as I sit here and try to tick through it, I can't recall what it would be.
Closest,
like, just this humiliation in front of your home crowd. As I always talk about that, the potential for a home field disadvantage in a critical spot.
There might have been like a hockey game seven home, because it means
where
a little
less.
I don't know.
This would have been a bad regular season game.
Oh, yeah.
If you just think of the margin, this is one of those that if it's just Tuesday night in the middle of January, people are tweeting like, excuse me, with question marks.
It was over so early. That's the thing with this. So now the conference finals are set. The Warriors are -250 to advance over the Mavs. They'll have home court, +220 on the Mavs. The other series in the East, Boston -175 over Miami. Miami's +145. You can get this all on FanDuel, FanDuel.com/extra points. Miami has home court there. I am going to take, let's go West first. I'm going to go Mavs in six.
Hmm.
I look at this Warriors team, very sloppy at times. And I know they're like undefeated at home. They're a frustrated team. It looks a lot of the times on the court. Draymond's mental state, his skill set is deteriorating. they throw guards at you. Luka, Brunson, Dinwiddie. Luka 9-2 in his last 11 against the Warriors. And I think that home crowd will be buzzing so long as Mark Cuban doesn't kill his players at the end of the game. I don't know. I just look at a team that lost by 55. I know there was no Kerr there, but it still resonates with me. I don't. You shouldn't. It's not fair to isolate one game, but the turnovers are there, and I don't think they're going to stop against Dallas. And I actually think Dallas could lose their first two and still be okay here. Martin, what do you think?
I like Dallas in six as well. If you just look at the way that Golden State has been playing, I said it. As soon as he threw Brandon Clark out the air, Draymond Green is a liability, and he's approaching Ben Simmons status. Like, you don't want him to shoot. And then that, like, how many backdoor cuts turnovers did he have? Just trying to hit Poole or Clay or whatever on a cut. I don't think that Game 6 Clay is a cool story, but it kind of is giving me feelings of Game 4 Harden, right? Like, I need to see Clay string together some more consistent performances before I'm willing to say that he's even a better offensive option than Jordan Poole right now. Right. And there was nobody on Golden State that could guard Ja Morant. There's definitely nobody. There's only like two or three people in the league that could probably guard Luka. Right. So like, yeah. And then when I see the way that the Mavericks play, I was kind of watching them dismantle the Suns last night. You know, they kind of remind me of Golden State pre-KD, where they have, like, Luka obviously is not a knockdown three-point shooter in the way that, you know, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson is. But when you have Brunson, Kleber, Dinwiddie, and even Finney Smith spacing the floor like that, even though Finney Smith probably gets a few too many shots for my liking, like...
Not a big center, not big down low, who's a Miller, like the average said. Like, Draymond won't have to... That yeah. won't be too much of a problem, but I don't know. Yeah, Shaq, who are you saying? Like, the counter to this and what Martin and I think, like, all right, Luka's great, but Giannis was great, right? Boston shut him down with threes, and Golden State, obviously, that's their game when they get hot with threes. So I'm going Mavs in six. Martin's going Mavs in six. What do you like?
Yeah, I said that last week about the Mavs. I feel a little bit as a vain person, frustrated, kind of like using the analogy of liking an indie band before other people did. Now I'm raw that everybody's in on them, and I jumped out and didn't continue on the ride with them. I'm not saying it's on the level of that I was pounding the table for the Dallas Mavericks, but there were a couple of times I was like, why is nobody talking about the Mavs over the course of the season? And as the playoffs approached, then Luka got hurt and I just jumped off, and now I'm PO'd at myself for jumping off of that. Yeah, I like their ability to score. I mean, you know, exactly as you say, it's, you know, right there on the other side of Basketball America. Giannis as an individual was just not enough, as it turned out, against a team. Maybe that's the way, you know. I'm a little bummed also at that. I've always felt, or for the last 15 years, that the NBA playoffs are as chalky as it gets, and maybe this isn't the truth, but in my gut, and since now we're a post-truth society, I guess I can just say this is what I feel like these have been the biggest upset results in terms of series results that we've seen in 15 years, right? Is that true or
in
no?
In the NBA?
Yeah, in the NBA. I mean, what?
What, the one seed going out in the second round?
Just, yeah, all, you, I know, mean, just the, as you the were saying the sequence that, of it.
You know, this is my knock on the NHL. Like, good luck getting a one in both ones and twos to advance. You know, it's the eight defeating the one was not rare where it is in other sports. Hockey did a nice job with that, if you like that, right? It was seven out of eight.
I know. Well, I know you point to that it's coin flip series, and I think there's something about the nature of seven game series versus 60 minutes. The NFL wild card playoffs obviously were wild too, and more often than not, the better team ended up winning those series. Same thing in the NHL. It just stretches out over 2 weeks, so you feel like the Capitals, the old Capitals, are going to beat the best team in the NHL or the team with the most. Those kind of things make you. Right. But it all it did go chalkier than the NBA did this time.
You're going Mavs? Yeah, for sure. Mavs won the season series 3 out of 4. So you going Mavs or Warriors here?
I'll go Mavs. I mean, yeah, if you guys say 6, I'll ride with you. I've been atrocious at picking the NBA. But I do believe that the Mavs have it. It's very it's screwy stuff. But then again, if the Heat get through as the number one seed, then it feels like, okay, justice served still at the end of the day.
Here. So let's talk about that. I wanted to be different here. I wanted to take the Heat. I wanted to give them the nod. I think they have been overlooked. They're home. They're undefeated at home. You know, they're a solid team. They didn't come out of nowhere. They're not like a 12th seed that's done this. They're the one seed. They, you know, got to the finals in 2020. They beat the Celtics in that conference finals. Meanwhile, the Celtics, they've been in the conference finals. This surprised me. 4 of the last 6 years, they've been to the conference finals. And they usually held old Butler in check, even in the series they lost. But I think the Celtics supporting cast is better. And that's saying a lot with Harrow being the sixth man of the year. They just get those threes up, and they switch on defense, and they switch on ball screens, which is very hard to string a bunch of wins against them when they do that. I think they switched off ball screen 55%, which is like twice as much, twice the rate of the other 15 playoff teams or something crazy. And I think it's going to create a problem for Miami, and the Celtics are going to win at home in 6 plus 90. Again, please, please, I don't want their fans to find out about this because they are miserable. They are the worst. Celtics in 6. Martin?
I've been on the Heat since like December, and I'm still here. I'm going to take the Heat. Everything you just said is true, but I'm kind of banking on that. The Celtics are, I think they're a little bit overrated through their playoff run. Like the going to 7 with Milwaukee, Milwaukee wasn't a full team, right? Without Chris Middleton, and they still went 7 with them. I like Miami, especially if that having a couple of days off to get, because they do have a couple of older guys to get, like Lowry. Maybe he'll be able to be more of himself, because the games that he came back against the Sixers, he was cooked. So hopefully he can come back and still and be an effective player. I just have liked this Heat team. They're really deep. They got one of the best 3-point shooters in the NBA just posted on the bench. Like, how many players would he be? How many teams would love to have him running out there? He might be getting run on Boston, even coming off the bench. So, I like Miami. I like Bam and I like Jimmy. Those are just two guys I don't like betting against in the playoffs. And even though that the Celtics, but I take nothing away from the Celtics. They're really good. And if Robert Williams is good to go for this whole series, then I really, it's more of a toss up to me than anything.
All right. So you're taking the plus money, plus 145 Miami for the series. All right. I took Celtics in 6. Shaq. I don't know. I mean, this is what it is. Like, the Celtics are a sexier team to root for, right? And if you're betting on them, you get fueled by that terrible crowd there in Boston Garden, whatever the hell they call it, whatever bank it's named after. But they may have beaten themselves up against Milwaukee. We see this all the time, right? Maybe the better team, the favorite team, at least as far as FanDuel's concerned, Boston's the better team. But maybe that was too grueling a series against Milwaukee. Which way are you going?
Well, also, for what it matters, which may not be very much, but, you know, recency bias has me taking the Heat here because the Celts, like you say, you know, they didn't back down from the challenge of the Nets when a lot of people like me were saying, like, I mean, that if they're on, they should make quick work of these Celts. But did either of those matchups that they just went through prepare them for the way the Heat play? I don't really think so. It's not like it's a Jimmy Butler team. Mm-hmm. You know, they took away KD, and that was the series. They took away Giannis in big spots. That was the series. I don't think that doing that, if you slow down Jimmy Butler, that is, you know, as big an edge in this series, because the Heat, again, have a number of scores. I wonder, as I say, I wonder if the model of big three, you got to have a big three in the NBA to compete for titles on a regular basis. I wonder if that's kind of out the window at this point.
Yeah.
It kind of is starting to have that vibe to it a little bit. Martin, look at these results. They're hard to make sense of.
Martin got on Budenholzer before. Spoelstra was the opposite there. In conference finals, 5-0. Two of those 5 series wins came against Boston. So
it is. I'll say this, though, to go back to the killer for any fan base. And as a reminder, put this one, file this one away, because this is a longstanding sports truth. Provincial fans of one side, when you lose a series or a big game without one of your key players, or like, you know, no Chris Middleton for the Pittsburgh Penguins against the Rangers. They didn't have Crosby for stretches. They didn't have their goalie. They didn't have the bat, all that. The thing that, like, you hold, like, well, it would have gone differently if we would have had those things. History will not remember it. And the short-term memory won't even hold on to it. People are just on, like, hey, Celts are playing great. It's like, they would have lost if Chris Middleton would have been in there, though, right? We all agree on that, don't we?
I think it's funny. So.
Just people don't care.
I think so.
They just move on, and it is a footnote in sports history. You got to remember that.
We're not moving on from Crosby.
Everybody knows that that guy was hurt. Like, nobody cares. Nobody remembers that.
Hey, this baseball season, though. See, I'm switching from basketball now. See how I did that? Just like that. We're talking about something new. Turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. And with FanDuel same-game parlays, you can turn little bets into big paydays. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. No better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. It has great promotions every day, a safe and secure app, and you get paid fast. And there's parlay insurance, for God's sakes. That's one of the reasons I love betting on FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code EXTRAPOINTS to get started with your risk-free first bet up to $1,000. Hey, I have a same-game parlay right out there on FanDuel today. The Rockies, Charlie Blackman to get a hit, Brandon Belt to get a hit, and the over in that game against the Giants to go to 10.5. You get about 4-1 odds on that. Yes, same-game parlays. Lots of fun. Sheck, you know what? Maybe we'll go to our play of the day right now, because all we have is baseball. And Sheck, your team got no hit but one. I mean, that's huge. Would you take that day? You would take that every day.
Yes,
right?
I think it's great news. Obviously,
you'd have all your whole offense batting zero through 162 games, but you'd be undefeated.
I mean, what else do you need to know? Obviously, the sports gods are smiling on the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think you got to ride with them. They're +138 in Wrigley.
All right. I mean,
what else needs to be said? You got to. They don't even need to hit a single ball to win games. I mean, what are you, crazy? You're not going to bet on that team? Of course.
Right. I'm with you. All right, Martin, give us your play of the day.
I'm going to go with Miguel Cabrera to record two or more bases. Mm-hmm. Him and Corey Kluber have a long and storied history back when Kluber was a member of the Cleveland baseball team.
Interesting.
And Cabrera hits a career 362 against Kluber, four doubles, six home runs, and he's gone over 1.5 total bases four times in his last six games. So you get that right now, +250 to record two plus hits.
I like it. Martin did his homework. All right, I'm going Astros. I think they've won 9 out of 10. Astros +102 against the Red Sox. You got Whitlock going. He's coming down to earth. Red Sox, he gave up 3 earned runs in 3 innings on Tuesday against the Braves. Odorizzi aiming for his 4th straight with 5 or more innings, which is a miracle start these days if you can go 5 or more innings. Astros 3rd in home runs, Red Sox 2nd to last. This is not the Red Sox boppers you're used to of last year or the years past. Astros +102. They've righted the ship after a loss Saturday. They won yesterday. Gimme Houston on the road. There it is. Those are our plays of the day. Let's take a quick break. All right, we're back. I want to jump on the Riverboat Casino. You know, we have a nice relationship with the captain of the Riverboat Casino, Sheck and Martin, and he's got questions for us all the time. He's got a gambling problem, I think, because he likes to take these pop culture and sporting events and theories and what's in the news, and he likes to relate it back to gambling. And I want no part of it, but he's a very persuasive guy. So this week he says, you know, there was a lot of talk, Game 7. The two greatest words in sports are Game 7, right? Do you agree? The Riverboat captain asked us to bet on the two greatest words in sports. Are they? And he put odds on this. Game 7, 2-1 odds. March Madness, 4-1 odds. Super Bowl, 6-1 odds. Tested negative. Oh, that's a big one these days. 9-1 odds. Or Tony Romo. I don't know why he's a big Tony Romo fan. I don't know why he threw that in there. 15-1 odds. Or the field at +250. Martin, what are the two greatest words in sports?
I say after yesterday, Game 7, definitely not. even though I did flip over and watch, I watched Calgary win in an overtime thriller, but I was going to compliment Dave, but now, since he took random shots at me earlier in the podcast, I have nothing that. But no nice words for him whatsoever. So okay. Game sevens across the board were a dud, right? March Madness in every game is an elimination game. So, like, that's kind of like, I don't get it. And the idea that, like, the greatest two words in sports, that's a weird corner to like, really plant your flag on. Yeah. Like, what's the greatest three words in sports? Or the greatest word in sports? Like, we only talk about the greatest two words in sports. But with that, I'm going to take the field, and I'm going to go with Rivalry Week.
Oh, that's a fun one. That is after Thanksgiving. You're talking about college football?
No, they do it in college football, and then they'll do it in they do it sometimes in college basketball too. Where they call it where they do Rivalry Week. Really, right. It's like that Thanksgiving Thursday weekend,
right?
Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Alabama, and all of those, and so on.
All right, check. Rivalry Week is a good one. You're going field there, Martin. All right, check. What's yours?
Boy, oh boy, there. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg that you could you could go down. But how about? I don't even know if it counts as two words, postseason. That's where it's at. You know, as we've talked about ad nauseum, but I'll just say again, I'm all for analytics. I am not one of these weirdo curmudgeons who frowns on it and everything. But I do feel like there's something about the math equation that sports are sort of steering into, or the math lovers' emergence has kind of taken away the shine of the postseason. It's all that matters. I mean, that's why you watch it. I mean, I get you can love a player, you can enjoy watching him season after season, but the best time of any sport is obviously when the games matter and it ends in a championship. This is when these are the games that will last forever. I guarantee you, Eddie Spaghetti and I in 30 years will be able to tick off probably every goal scorer in the seven games. I mean, like, you just, there are certain things that are entrenched in your brain because you know that they matter.
Right. I got bad news for you. It's one word, postseason.
I was about to say.
I would like to complain to
customer service here. The Riverboat Casino, the Riverboat Captain, cannot accept that bet. It.
Yeah, he's taking
football playoffs,
out.
Sports
football
playoffs.
Great. Sure. Playoffs.
That's two.
I have a couple out here. Free tacos. Right? Whenever a team scores over 100 points or something, or holds a team to under 100, free tacos is nice. Cold beer here. When the vendor yells it, beer here is almost like one word.
How selfless of you, Sal.
I know. I don't even drink. I think people will like this. Race to 10 Tuesday, if you count race to 10 as one word, that's a fun thing to do. Pick six is fun, check. And if your basketball is your sport, buzzer beater, right? I would throw Gus Johnson in there, Martin. I know we're all big fans of Gus Johnson. Greatest
Red
two words
zone.
In sports. But I'm going to settle on Hail Mary. And because my guy, Roger Staubach, made it famous to Drew Pearson, 1975. And that was different. Go ahead, check. You're going to say he pushed off. That's fine. But that was a playoff game against the Vikings. Now, what's different about that is it's not a Hail Mary in the sense that we know it. You know how much time was left in the game when he threw that? Do you remember, check?
No. Is it more than a minute? Don't tell me that.
6 minutes, No, it wasn't that long. 32 seconds, though. 32 seconds. So, I know, but it wasn't like the last play of the game. We know the Hail Marys to be the last play of the game. The Vikings probably had, I don't know how many plays they had after that, but they probably had a few. Not only that, Roger Staubach coined the term, not on that day, but 12 years before, recalling a play where Navy threw a Hail Mary. He threw a Hail Mary against Michigan. So it was actually coined in 1963. Talk about the old Manning cast. We're going way back. I'm going Hail Mary. That's mine.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good because Staubach threw it and named it. And I've spoken with 12 about that. What value that has? None, except that I wanted to name check that I've talked with him about it. He saved it from what it had previously been called, the alley-oop.
That would be
very confusing. Yeah. San Francisco used to do it. I forget the two guys who, I don't think it was Tittle throwing it, but whoever it was, they did it like three times in one season, two or three times in one NFL season, which if you can imagine in the 50s, how crazy that must have been. But yeah, they called it the alley-oop which would have been at minimum very confusing given basketball using it now.
There you go.
I also feel like alley-oop is one of the words that, of all the sports words, like where did that come from? Because I guess oop feels like a mistake to me, but I don't.
Alley-oop was it a cartoon? Like in a newspaper?
Something
cartoon?
Like that, yeah.
Like from the 30s or so? Yeah, 1932, syndicated comic strip. And it has nothing to do with anything. Just adventure, fantasy, and humor. Oh, that's fun. 4 decades.
The more you know. Invested.
There you go. The more you know. All right, that's our ride on the Riverboat Casino. I guess there's no John Hamm trying to stall here. Buy some bars. Oh, Babyface, go ahead. Jump in. What do you want to say?
Well, I was surprised Dave didn't go Immaculate Reception.
That would
be up there. Hard Knocks. You could have gone. Football season's coming. The HBO show Kardashian Curse, very popular right now.
It's a good one.
And then Crypto Arena. Who doesn't love the Crypto Arena?
Right.
Green Jacket. And then, those Eddie. Yeah,
Spaghetti. You got any?
I wrote two in the chat. Well, Notre Dame, which is a funny one to me, but the one I actually would have went with is Grand Slam. Hail Mary's great if they actually catch a score touchdown, but something about like getting every guy on the base and then just like beating the pitcher and hitting one, scoring all four runs, like Grand Slams to me are always like one of the things I love to watch in sports.
All right, check. Are you going to yell at him for that? I mean, that wasn't controversial at all, right?
No. Grand Slam. That makes perfect sense in my book. Yeah,
we had a nice time at Spaghetti Saturday.
It's also a delicious Denny's breakfast, Grand Slam. Eddie.
Yeah, that's right.
That one Joel, came first too. That's the grand. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I don't know. Maybe I have my timeline out of whack. By the way, very quickly, I know you want to talk Spaghetti's party. I do want to mention football refuses to leave the headlines of the sports page or the online site you go to talk about sports. Drew Brees, kids, he might play football, and everybody reacts like that old man's gonna come back and play football after a year away, removed from stinking the last time we saw him. Obviously, he's kidding around. That was weird. Just trying to.
Well, he's better at football than he was announcing, though.
Well, that's definitely true. And then late breaking, although Babyface maybe has an update on this. Antonio Brown tweeted that he just wants to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler, which is
there you go.
We want to talk about long odds. I think. Well, that's a good one for you there, Sal.
He's still waving his shirt. Antonio Brown's a good two-word phrase. Yeah, Martin, real quick about that. Drew Brees, I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, I just stay where you are. Just go be a family man.
They don't want him.
No, just go be a family man. You're a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Oh, stay home.
Just go stay home. Yeah. It's okay. Just stay home. But what's fascinating, though, is for all intents and purposes, this seems like the Saints are loading up. Like trading up and then for Olave and then signing Landry. Like, this doesn't feel like a team that's trying to tank or to try to wait for next year to get their quarterback. So I think that also helped stoke some of the fuel to the fire of Drew Brees returning. It's not like the Saints. The NFC South. I know Brady came back, but it feels open.
Who's the OC? I can't remember the guy's, the longtime OC's name down there in NOLA, but Sean Payton. I don't think Drew Brees would come back, but I'd be bullish on the Saints right now in the NFC if Sean Payton were still their coach. I just don't know if Dennis Allen is up for the task. You know, I still remember his Raiders days, but that Saints team is legit if Jameis is good, and he was good until he got hurt last year.
So Drew Brees, though, as far as the announcing thing goes, that's what Fox has to be worried about, right? In Tom Brady.
Yes. My first thought is, oh no, what have we done? We definitely have to commit $375 million to this guy. Hey, good news on the quarterback front. Deshaun Watson's taking everybody on the Browns to the Bahamas. Good guy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
all right.
Baker Mayfield may or may not be in attendance. You know, he is still recovering from
his very interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I want nothing to do with this team. They embarrassed me. And I went, Bahamas, you say?
Right. Who's going to turn that down? All right. A couple words on Spaghetti's. I met the family for the first time. I obviously knew Jada, his lovely girlfriend. I met Martin's girlfriend, Marielle, right? Am I saying it wrong?
It's a hard Mar.
Yeah. Marielle?
There you go.
How do you spell that?
Mariel.
Oh, all right. So, okay. So I was thinking Ariel with an M, right? Like the but it's Mariel. Okay.
There you go.
Nice. She had a good time.
She did. She did. She enjoyed you, Sal. She her favorite conversation was probably Eddie's dad. We talked to Eddie's dad outside at the pool.
Yeah.
For And he was just like, look at this. It's huge. It was just, you know, he's doing, it was a great guy. And
he rented a house for his family, came out. It was fun. His 30th birthday in Malibu. We had a nice time. I don't know. There was a boy, Jada. It's funny. Mikey Meatball's like, who? I was like, I don't know who to root for here. I really don't know. The Rangers and Penguins, because you guys were going at it that night, and it was fun. And Jada was worried that you were going to get your hair cut, because that was your part of the Cap of Consequences. Dave was to cut your hair. And she's like, we have this. I was hoping we'd have her on. We have this. We have the trip to Hawaii. We have a trip to Las Vegas. And she didn't want. She said she dated you the first 4 years. You were ugly. And now you finally have your hair right.
Jada and Mama Spaghetti both teaming up. Like, exactly. You cannot cut his hair. And campaigning to Sal, though. Like, you can't cut his hair. It's like. Like, Eddie can, oh, now that was the phrase that they kept repeating that was funny. Yeah. It was like, Eddie cannot cut his hair. And I said, don't worry about it. He's not going to cut his hair. I'm going to shave his head. Don't worry about it. That'll be the end.
See?
But yeah, they were very worried about that.
Well, thank you for having us, Spaghetti. Fun. That was a good time.
It was, I was actually getting my family just left right before we started the show, and I was just getting emotional, even just thinking about, because obviously me turning 30 kind of hit me hard, and I was like, wow, I like literally could not have beaten that weekend. It was a perfect weekend.
Hold on.
My family loved you guys. It was an awesome time. It was overwhelming with all the gifts and people celebrating me. It was, it was one of the best weekends of my entire life.
But wait a minute. Hold on. Speaking of Eddie getting emotional, that was the big takeaway. It was great meeting Martin's girlfriend, Mariel. But the big takeaway for me, I'm sorry, we learned that Eddie cried upwards of 3 times during the last Pearl Jam show. Is this correct, Eddie?
Yeah, I did. I'm just at the point in life now where it's like everything. I'm like at 30, and like I just
be a mess at 70.
I'm trying to like hold on to like good moments. I feel like everything good is like fleeting, and I'm just like I don't know. So like I'm like, but it's like the Pearl Jam shows, and then just like being in Malibu with you guys hanging out. I'm just like even the Rangers winning last. I'm just like I've become like a total mess recently. But I'm very appreciative of like the concert. Very appreciative of you guys and everyone that was there. It was A+.
I did have to ask Jada too. I said, like, are we talking like you say he cried 3 times at the show? Are we talking like a single tear? Like, this is really great, or was it sobbing? She said, oh no, it was the waterworks. it was the way he wept pretty good. But I did think, I will say, because I'm a great guy, that the Pens really needed the first goal in Game 7 and Kreider got it. I did think, good. I know that that guy's especially important to Spaghetti. So at least he got a bit. You like to see your guys come through in the big spots. So I was happy for that. But I was happy because, like I say, for me, it's texting with the family. I'm glad Spaghetti was with the whole pasta clan gathered around on the other side of the Sports America to get to have that. That is one of those things that I know from experience that you will look back on and be like, remember when we were in LA? What the what? Oh yeah, it was for the party, and we all got to watch the Rangers. That'll be a singular event that you'll remember for the next
all came around.
5 decades.
You guys were screaming at each other 45 minutes ago. Now we're reminiscing.
It's ridiculous.
We're talking about.
Believe me, you look at my Twitter feed and tell me what you think. These weirdos getting in there like cry more. Like cry more. My team has 5 Stanley Cups. You're the one that doesn't have any champions.
That's not what I wanted to do.
I don't know. Let's make peace. I don't know if you guys can see this. I tried to put it in the chat, but I have a perfect picture of Eddie right after he opened the champagne bottle, and MVP, formerly of the Dave Damaschek football program, is looking at Eddie with just amazement and wonderment. Just how is this guy standing up, still operational? Especially, that suntan was impressive.
Thank you for sending me that picture. Someone else sent me another picture, which I'm not as fond of. It's Elon Musk's mother on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. So I'm going to try to get that out of my mind. Good Lord. It's done. It's all over. It's all over. This is sorry, horny teenagers. It's over.
Well, now our next move is, though, what we have to do now is... We must campaign to tell the world that John Hamm is apparently a prima donna.
Yeah, what happened to John Hamm? All right, we're going to get him on Thursday. We have an action-packed
show. Too late.
Show
now
Thursday
I'm an Avs fan up. This series.
You might as well be. They're big, big favorites. Yeah. Yes. Ciara is on the cover. Kim Kardashian is on the cover as well. It's not just Elon Musk's mother. I should say that. And look at that. I didn't even know that. Martin's girlfriend, Mario, is on the cover too. But no. Anyway, all right. There you go. Thursday, we'll be back. Cooler heads will prevail. And then it'll start right up again as Eddie Spaghetti is going to shoot hockey balls and other things at Dave Damashek in a Jesus costume.
I'm on to Cincinnati, literally. That's the Steelers' next game. That's what I'm – that's my part of things.
May Holy Eddie Spaghetti goal. Have the aim of Mariano Rivera.
Martin may want to take a shot, too. You may have to pay. I don't know what's going on after today. All right, that'll do it for another episode of Extra Points. I want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.